RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Thursday morning, the 8th of October 2020. So much making news in the world of racing and sport, and we'll bring you up to date over the next 25 minutes. Let's start in the footy world. Thought we'd be talking about two semi-finals. Instead, we're talking about Essendon and another big name headed north. This time, Joe Danaher has announced he's off to Brisbane, but Dan Richardson, head of footy, tried to put a positive spin on things yesterday.
Don't consider this a rebuild. There's an opportunity there to obviously gain, and you know, that will be in the form of a mix between some early draft picks, which we haven't had for a number of years, and it will be also potentially in the form of some really strong recruits that we can bring in by the trade period.
Let's head to action on the field now. Dan Butler here speaking about Rowan Marshall going one out in the ruck on the weekend.
Obviously last year he played a lot of games where he was just one out ruck, and yeah, I'm sure he's looking forward to it. Obviously it's been good having Paddy and Roe. One of them can be down forward, but as I said, we've got some people that can come in and fill Paddy's role as well.
And on the other side of the coin, Damien Hardwick says Tom Lynch is A-OK.
Yeah, he's right to go. He trained strongly today, and as he has throughout the week, like we said, it was a calculated decision last week. We just thought he might enjoy the extra week training, so he's right to play this week, which is real positive for us.
And in women's cricket yesterday, a historic day for the Australian women's cricket team, claiming their 21st and record-equalling victory in a row.
Yes!
Gone! Molyneux joins into the party straight away. Jensen gets knocked over for six.
We'll bring you the full scorecard and a bit of the reaction from that game from Meg Lanning and Rachel Haynes as well. Next on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Andrew Bates with you for the next 25 minutes as we run you through the latest in the world of racing and sport. We'll hear from Peter Moody in just a second as well on Glenn Fittich, who, of course, has a late scratching from the Caulfield Guineas on the weekend. Coming up on the Breakfast Club after 6 this morning, big show on your Thursday half, and Whitey will join you from 6. Lucas Herbert, Aussie golfer who went so close in the Scottish Open over the weekend. He'll have a chat to us just after 6.30 this morning. Craig Gabriel on the French Open from overnight, the early mail before 7 o'clock. Bit of an extra edition of the early mail as well. Stay tuned for that one. Brad Johnson for the Thursday footy preview, as he does every Thursday, to take a deep dive into the finals this week. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix CEO Tommy Greer as well. After 7.30, Peter Siddle from Tasmania. And after 8 this morning, Taylor Adams, Collingwood vice-captain and All-Australian this year, will join the guys. Looking forward to hearing from Taylor in the harbour ahead of their massive clash against Geelong, and a wonderful win, of course, last week, which I'm sure the boys will reflect on as well. So lots to come on a huge Thursday edition of the Breakfast Club. There'll be a huge Thursday edition of Racing Pulse after 8.30 with Michael Felgate. And then don't ever forget Gareth Hall with RSN Central from 10.30, taking all the way up until the first. Let's start, though, with the footy news, and the big news from yesterday. It dominated everywhere. Joe Danaher, just a day after Adam Saad decided he was off to the Blues, Joe's headed up north. He wants to be a Brisbane Lions player in 2021. Let's hear from Dan Richardson on that decision.
I don't really see it as a player exodus. I mean, Joe had one foot out the door last year, and I think he ended up facing a really difficult decision, and we understand that it was a 50-50 decision for him. So I think as the year went on, he probably became more likely to stay than go, even though he clearly made that decision this time last year. So each individual situation needs to be taken on its merits. I mean, Adam's a different case altogether, and clearly he's had a compelling offer from another club, which he's chosen to pursue. So, it's difficult to do much about that. And in terms of the case for Raz, look, at this point in time, he hasn't requested a trade. But, look, we know that family are very dear to Orazio, and we know that there's a strong connection with his family, and there's, you know, he's been open about the pull back home to Adelaide being strong over the years. But, you know, at this stage, he hasn't requested a trade home, and if he does, then it could be one of those situations that it's, you know, the best thing by both parties to consider that. But look, we'll only consider that if that discussion takes place, which it hasn't to date.
So a lot of talk around Essendon and what they will look like in 2021, which will be vastly different. Here's what Matthew Lloyd had to say on Channel 9 last night.
I think the club has their heads in the sand if they want to shove this back on the players, because if they want to go down this track and believe you players don't want to play the role Ben asked you to, there'll be a player by the name of Zach Merritt who I believe will say in 12 months' time, you know, I'm not that content either.
I think they have to improve their culture, no doubt about that, unless you get all the, you know, call it the spokes in the wheel, you know, CEO, head of football, coach, captain, everyone aligned and on the same page. Until they sort that out, obviously new president, I don't think anything will change on the field. We are hurt, the Essendon people, and seeing good people and good players walk out hurts even more.
So let's focus to things on the field. Now seems weird saying that in semi-final week. That's where our eyes should be. So let's get to the Tigers. And David Hardwick yesterday wants to improve on the Richmond ill discipline that they showed against Brisbane when they take on the Saints this weekend.
Others will always comment, you know, it's probably not symptomatic as us as a football club, I wouldn't think. And the reality is, until we have our on-field performance, you know, we'll continue to be judged by that. So, look, the way we went about it last week was disappointing. We're the first to acknowledge and the first to admit it. We've just got to get better at that part of the game. It's disappointing. And as I said previously, the reality is it cost us the game. So, we'll stand up and accept responsibility, but there's no doubt we've got to get better. Look, we've addressed it. We've talked about it. The fact of the matter is we've just got to make sure our on-field discipline is better. You know, it's been a constant throughout the year, and the reality is it falls on me to make sure that it's stamped out, and we've just got to make sure this week we sit there and adhere to the rules and understand how costly it is. So we accept the responsibility first and foremost, but we've got to get better at that part of our game, there's no doubt. I think last week, you know, with the humidity in the game and Nank being required to play some 80-odd% and some forward was probably a little bit too much for him, especially when they had two genuine rucks as well. So, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. Would we pick the same side last week as this week? We probably wouldn't. So we've done a little bit of work on that, so we'll have a look at something different for this weekend's game.
Damien Hardwick speaking yesterday. Let's head to one of his former pupils now, Dan Butler. I'm facing his old side in a pretty big game on the weekend.
Yeah, obviously I'm grateful to be able to play AFL this year and get more opportunity. And, you know, I think as long as we put up a really good contest, you know, it'll be a really good game. And I don't think I have anything to prove to them. I've got great respect for the club and the coaches and players there. So I'm just really looking forward to what we can bring, and hopefully, you know, it's a really good contest. Obviously, they've been so successful the last few years. Everyone kind of knows how they play anyway. Obviously, a lot of forward handball and I like to gain territory, so, you know, most of the coaches know that. But, yeah, if they need anything on individual players, I'm, yeah, pretty happy to help out. We probably dominated the first three quarters, and then, as you said, the last quarter we kind of let them back in, and, you know, we watched a bit of that and some of the areas we can improve on, which was mainly we probably played a bit safe and, as you said, went to our shell a bit. So, yeah, this week, if we're in the same situation, we'll know to keep playing to the St Kilda brand and, you know, hopefully kick some more goals in the last quarter.
Richmond and St Kilda tomorrow night at 7:50 p.m. Meanwhile, on Saturday night, it will be Geelong facing Collingwood. Patrick Dangerfield speaking yesterday was asked the question if this is the last crack at it for this older group of Cats. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I've been asked that, I reckon, the last 3 years. So I don't see us going significantly north anytime soon, Pete. So, no, it's not something that ever enters my mind, to be honest. I think the good teams, the good players, never focus on what can happen. It's more around preparation. It's folly to speculate. It's what you can control. So for us and for me, that's Saturday night. And we've had those games throughout the year where we just haven't missed. So, you know, it's just important that when those moments do come that we grasp them and stand up to them. And, you know, I'm confident we can do that this week.
Let's head to the Pies side of things now with Braden Maynard, who thought he might have cost his team the game late against the West Coast Eagles, and they come up against the Cats on Saturday night.
I was just thinking to myself, oh no, like, they're going to win the game. And to be honest, I did go insular and get pretty worried about what the next 30 seconds or a minute is going to happen. I feel like we have a group that can go all the way, but there's a few teams that we have to beat. They're in some serious form as well, and they're very good sides. But bloody hell, when we're on, we're hard to beat.
Good to hear there from Braden Maynard. Looking forward to Saturday night. In fact, it's going to be a fantastic weekend of footy and also a brilliant Saturday of racing. That's where we'll head now with Peter Moody, who joined Racing Pulse yesterday, just to give us the latest on Glenn Fittish after, unfortunately, he was scratched from the Caulfield Guineas on the weekend.
Prognosis is good. He's got an epiglottic entrapment. It's a small membrane which hooks onto the cartilage on the side of the throat. And it takes away some of their oxygen capacity. And just a very unfortunate thing. And the thing that's just come on, we actually scoped him 2 days before the start stakes because he had a cough. Had one cough and we thought maybe a bit of mucus. And he scoped clear and fine. He galloped brilliant yesterday afternoon. I took him for a swim personally. Just wasn't happy with the noise he was making in the pool. Thought maybe a little bit of mucus again. So we did a precautionary scope yesterday afternoon, and unfortunately my vet discovered this issue. So a very small minor procedure. They actually go in through the nasal passage of the horse with like a little hook and just nick this little membrane. And say the membrane's like your tongue. They put a little nick in the end of it and it becomes like a snake's tongue. So it doesn't catch. So he has that procedure in the morning. He'll have a week's treatment, antibiotics, throat wash, and then we'll re-scope, reassess, and see where we're at.
Good luck to Glenn Fittish. Hopefully we might see him before the end of the Spring Carnival, as Peter Moody said yesterday. In case you missed that full interview, head to the website, rsn.net.au, or subscribe to the Racing Pulse podcast. Let's now head to the cricket from yesterday, and this was a shellacking, an absolute exclamation mark on the record yesterday as Australia brought up their 21st consecutive one-day international win. The Aussie women 5 for 325 from their 50 overs. New Zealand all out for 93. It was an absolute demolition. Rachel Haynes at the top of the order, 96 from 104 deliveries, and Alyssa Healy made 87 from 87 to really set up the innings. And then the bowlers did the job, sharing the wickets around. Shute with two, Jonathan with two, Jess Jonathan, Ash Gardner two, Sophie Molyneux with two, and 1 each to Wareham and Sutherland. So a true team performance there and a fantastic win. Let's hear from Meg Lanning on that record. She missed yesterday's game due to a hammy injury.
Yeah, it's a really special effort, especially over a long period of time, and we've played some incredible teams along the way as well. So, to be able to win 21 on the trot is a great effort, something we're very proud of. And, we really want to make sure we finish off the series well today, and it was great we were able to do that.
There we go, Meg Lanning yesterday. Just to bring you up to date with some other cricket news from overnight in the IPL, the Kolkata Knight Riders have beaten the Chennai Super Kings by 10 runs. They're all out for 167, the Knight Riders, from their 20 overs. And the Chennai Super Kings 5 for 157, so falling 10 runs short. Pat Cummins made 17 from 9 deliveries with the bat to boost that total a little for the Kolkata Knight Riders. And Shane Watson still starring again. Another half century in the IPL, 50 from 40 deliveries in the response for the Chennai Super Kings, but it wasn't quite enough. In terms of Pat Cummins with the ball, he had 4 overs, none for 25, so no wicket there. But the Chennai Super Kings falling at 10 short. A couple of Aussies doing okay, including the evergreen Shane Watson, who just continues to dominate over there in the IPL. Time for a break at 12 to 6 on your Thursday morning. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on the NBA from yesterday and all the French Open from overnight as well.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Davis for three. Bang! Anthony Davis from downtown. And the Lakers Pirates take a 9-point lead. Timeout, Miami.
Maybe the decisive game in the series yesterday as the Lakers beat the Heat to take a 3-1 advantage in the NBA Finals, 102 to 96. Let's hear from LeBron after the win.
I mean, between me and AD, we hold each other to a standard that no one else can hold us to. And that's what it's all about. He challenges me every night. I challenge him every night. Doesn't matter if the ball is going in. We have to do things to help our team win, defensive end, offensive end. And he did that tonight. He was spectacular, taking a challenge on Jimmy to start. And then anytime he got switched onto a guard, just containing them, getting block shots, giving us extra possessions offensively.
Meanwhile, over in the French Open overnight, Stefano Tsitsipas booked his place in the semifinals.
Tsitsipas moves into his first Roland Garros semifinal, the second major semifinal of his career.
Straight sets victory over Andre Rublev, 7-5, 6-2, 6-3. On the women's side of things, Petra Kvitova, her great story continues, 6-3, 6-3 in straight sets over Sigmund of Germany. And Sophia Kennan beat the unseeded Danielle Collins, so the number 4 seed beats her countrywoman, 6-4, 4-6, 6-love in the third. Currently out on court as well, there is some live action going on. Novak Djokovic has got a bit of a battle on his hands. Pablo Carreño Busta was able to take a set off him, so Djokovic losing the first set, 4-6. He's bounced back with the next two, 6-2, 6-3. We're at the start of the fourth, so that is one to watch through the morning, and I'm sure the guys on the Breakfast Club will keep you up to date as that progresses. Let's have a listen to Stefanos Tsitsipas on making the semi-finals. As you heard, just the first time in his career he's made the French Open semis and the second time he's made the semis of a major tournament.
Yeah, you could say so. I've been feeling really comfortable playing in this court, and despite not having a good start and being a breakdown, I remember the what a big fighter I am, and you know, it's also about fighting and trying to find solutions in difficult moments, and I managed to put my brain into work and find solutions to these difficult tasks that I had to complete. Playing here in Paris, it has been always joyful, and I always I'm always looking forward on coming here and playing my best tennis. Roland Garros has been a tournament that I've been watching since a very young kid, and I always dream playing in the courts, and especially in the Philippe Chatrier, which it is a dream come true, playing with the public, playing with the people, playing with love, and playing with so much dignity.
Stefanos Tsitsipas last night after his straight sets victory into the semifinals. Let's have a listen now to Petra Kvitova after her straight sets win. Another semifinal berth for her at Roland Garros.
Petra, well done again. Laura played a great match today and a great tournament. It was a tough battle, especially in the second set with many breaks.
Yeah, you're right. It's always tough battle playing the quarterfinal of the Grand Slam. So I really expect her to play very well, which she really showed whole match. And you know, on the first set, I was serving a little bit better. I think that I made a lot of points on my serves, and it was just about the one break. But in the second, it was a lot of re-breaks, so it was really difficult to stay focused, you know, and really wait for the chance to keep my serve, which came in the end, and I'm really happy for it.
You played the semi-final here in 2012. You're back in the semis. I guess this one means a lot to you.
Yeah, it's mean a lot to me, definitely. In my last match, I got a little bit emotional when I won and to be in the quarters. And now in the semis on the beautiful Philippe Chatrier, I couldn't really imagine myself to be in a semi-final after everything. And I'm really happy for that, definitely. It's right now it's my lucky place, so I'm really happy to be here to play, to have a joy from tennis and to really enjoy the game itself. I really missed it when I was off, so I'm really happy that I am still able to play and compete with the best.
So she's through to another semi-final at Roland Garros. Let's now head to the NRL. David Riccio here from the Daily Telegraph, just updating on the biggest story out there at the moment, which keeps on bubbling away behind the scenes, and it's headed to the courts now, the Sam Burgess developments, after all was revealed last week in an investigation done by the Australian newspaper. Here's David Riccio on NRL 360 last night on Fox Sports.
Yeah, look, another important day in what is an obviously serious matter that both Rugby League and the Burgess family are dealing with at the moment. Dan Burgess's lawyer has accused his ex-partner, his client's ex-partner and her father of leaking orchestrated propaganda of drug abuse and domestic violence to the media. Burgess didn't attend Mossvale local court today. His lawyer claimed that the Australian report was born out of malice or retaliation and, as I said, orchestrated propaganda. Look, it's just another sad chapter in this ongoing story. The matter will resume on October 21. We haven't heard the last of this case, that's for certain.
No, he's definitely right about that. A sad backdrop to the NRL finals at the moment. Let's head back to the footy ahead of what will be a big weekend of semi-final action on Friday night, of course, the Saints and the Tigers, and then on Saturday night, the Pies and the Cats. Let's hear from Todd Marshall looking ahead to the preliminary finals. He, of course, went off with a bit of a shoulder complaint last week. Hopefully he's going to be okay for the prelim. He gave us an update yesterday.
Shoulder's feeling pretty good, considering it's only a couple of days after the game. So, yeah, it's just an AC joint injury. It's pretty common. So, yeah, should be no dramas in a week and a half, and yeah, should be right to go. Yeah, I was pretty keen once I knew it wasn't dislocated to get back out on the ground. So, yeah, as you said, went down and got it strapped up and come back out. And, yeah, the coaches were pretty happy that I you know, kept the rotation for the team. And yeah, I didn't really have much of an impact, but yeah, just the structure and the stuff that I brought was good, and yeah, it's just a good thing for my belief that I could stay out there and keep competing.
There we go, Todd Marshall yesterday with some interesting music, as always, in the background from the club websites. Let's head to Patrick Dangerfield now. This is a good news story from yesterday. The Players Grand Final tickets are all going to be donated to community clubs. Here he is, the president of the AFLPA.
Something that that we have access to every year, but given the circumstances of this season, we felt that it was really appropriate to reward the people up here that have just done such an incredible job in supporting us as a code, everyone here that that wouldn't be if it wasn't for the whether it be easing of restrictions and allowing us to play, relaxing of the borders, and then also just a reward for the AFL associated clubs up here at the lower levels. Mid-300s, I think, yeah. It is, yeah. Yep. So of those 159 clubs, each club gets two tickets and they can do with those tickets what they will, whether it be raffle them off, give them to you know, those people that have been loyally volunteering for years on years, or however they'd like to do it.
Good stuff from the AFL yesterday. That's it for the Breakfast Club, or a Breakfast Bite, rather, on this Thursday morning. The Breakfast Club returns in about 5 minutes' time after the 6 o'clock news. Half and Whitey to take you through a huge Thursday morning. Looking forward to the show. We'll chat again tomorrow.